Well, good morning. We've been looking at God's plan. His plan, according to Romans 8 and verse 29, is to shape all of us into the image and likeness of Jesus. And we've been looking over the last several weeks at the various ways that God shapes our lives. Today's lesson is the final one that we'll be looking at as far as one of the resources or the resources that God uses to shape our lives. This chapter is titled, Holy Chats, God Shapes Us Through Prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're told that the early disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In the last chapter, we talked about fellowship. We talked about hanging out with the saints. In this chapter, we will talk about prayer. Prayer is the most important conversation that you will ever hold. In prayer, we confess our sin. In prayer, we lift up the lost that they might be saved. In prayer, we seek God's help in our life. There is no communication that is more important than talking to God. Prayer is essential for every believer in Jesus. If we pray little or none, we simply do not trust God or believe in God. You know, as a preacher, it is possible to preach too long. But I could never pray too long. Amen? And so prayer is how we access the power of God. Without prayer, Christianity is reduced to human potential. And experience should tell you that that's not going to take you very far. Paul was a man of prayer, and in his letters we see Paul praying for the recipients of his letters. And at the same time, he encouraged the recipients to be praying for him as he labors in the kingdom of God. I want you to listen to Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 21. Paul prays in chapter 3 as well. Listen to these words. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling? And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. And so Paul makes three specific requests here in his initial prayer as he writes to the Ephesians. First, that God would be more revealed more fully to them. Second, that they would be able to comprehend to a greater degree the hope to which they had been called in Jesus Christ. And third, that they would grasp the power that was at work in them. We need so desperately to pray for the same things in our own lives. I don't know about you, but I want to know God more fully. I want to understand to a greater degree the hope to which He has called me in Jesus Christ. And I want to realize the power that is at work in my life. And Paul goes on to tell me what that power is. It's the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. If we prayed like that, I think our life and our service would look a whole lot different, don't you? If we really prayed in this way. In chapter 3, Paul prays for the church to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of Christ's love. You see, Paul wants us to know the love of Christ that we might be filled, he says, with all of the fullness of God. You see, Paul wants us to be filled with the fullness of God. Do you want to be filled with the fullness of God? Well, prayer is the only way that we can accomplish this in our lives. You see, our spiritual progress is at the mercy of our prayers. And we need to know that. And so let me ask you a question. What thrills you most? That you have God's Word and that you can read it? Or that you can talk to God knowing that He listens to you and He responds by answering your prayers? Both are incredibly mind-blowing. I talk to God and He listens. Wow. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, God listens to us. And if we really believe that, I believe we would be devoted to prayer in the same way that the early disciples were devoted to prayer. You see, the person who prays only when he or she feels like it won't pray very much. Prayer is more than talking to God. Prayer is being with God. Prayer is life with God. So why don't we pray more? If God hears and answers our prayers, why don't we talk to Him more? You see, the New Testament church we read about in the Bible, it was a praying church. And the more time we spend with God in prayer, the more time we become like Him. You see, you can't be in His presence and not be changed by that. And so when you're in His presence and you're talking to Him, it's going to have an impact on your life. It's going to change you. It just is. In Psalm 139, the verses that Dan read a few moments ago, I love those words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If our life is going to be transformed, it's going to be because we are praying for God to change us. We need to pray deep, earnest prayers, asking God to search us, to look down deep inside of us and show those deficiencies in our lives, and then help us to change. And only prayer can accomplish this in our life. Only God is able to really search and help us make the changes that we need to make in each one of our lives. Listen to David in Psalm 51 as he prays. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me make known wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I love those final words, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let's sing it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, and we shall behold to be blessed in your love. Amen. You see, David has been confronted by his sin by Nathan the prophet concerning his adultery and murder. And so he comes before God and he confesses his sin and he's asking God to forgive him and to change his heart. And in verse 10 he says, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. David is pleading with God to change him. He doesn't want to be the person who could sin against God in such a heinous way. You see, there are times when we should come before God and say, God, change my heart. You see, David was commended in Scripture for having a heart after God. He's known in Scripture as a man who had a heart after God. And it makes you wonder how that could possibly be when you can see David murder and commit adultery. And you just wonder, how does David have a heart after God? Well, you have to look at David's response when Nathan came and Nathan confronted David. You see, David could have killed Nathan. That's how he could have responded, but that's not how David responded. David was receptive to the message that he heard, that he had sinned against God. And his response was to repent. His response was to go to God and say, God, forgive me and change my heart. That's the response. Is that what you do when you're confronted with sin in your life? It should be. In verse 17, David writes in the same psalm, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You see, a broken and contrite heart. These are the sacrifices that will always be acceptable to God. These sacrifices are necessary if you want God to change your heart and your life. We need to have a broken spirit. We need to have a contrite heart when we are confronted with sin. Because if we don't, we're never going to change. Life will never be different. David writes these words in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. He says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. David is pleading with God in prayer, saying, God, show me your ways and lead me in your truth. What a prayer. Many of David's prayers express his desire to be more like God. What would our life look like if we prayed these kinds of prayers? I think we would all be a better people, no doubt. James says, you have not because you ask not. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul tells the church there that I am lifting you up in my prayers. And he does this, by the way, in all of his letters. If you'll notice, when Paul addresses the recipients of the letters, he always says, I'm praying for all of you. So Paul prayed for all of his converts, and in chapter 1, he starts his prayer in verse 3, but I want us to jump all the way down to verse 9. I want us to look at 9 through 11 and listen to the request that he makes here. This is in Philippians. He says, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Notice that Paul prays for their love to abound more and more in knowledge and discernment. Why? Well, he tells us that they may approve the things that are excellent. You see, love, without a doubt, is the greatest Christian virtue. We know this from the Bible. Jesus says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, love is the greatest virtue. Yet love without boundaries can get you into trouble. And so Paul prays for their love to be guided by knowledge and discernment. You see, love needs to be properly channeled. That's what Paul is telling them. And so think of love as a river, and knowledge and discernment as the banks of the river. And it's the knowledge and discernment that's guiding your love, because love needs to be properly directed. Knowledge is practical knowledge that informs us, or that informs love as to right circumstances and aims and means, which is to be applied in the various circumstances of life. But then he also mentions discernment. This is moral discernment. It's the ability to make moral decisions in the midst of difficult choices that we're confronted with every single day of our lives. So Paul says, this gives one the ability to approve the things that are excellent. And this way we can be sincere and without offense come the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness that he talks about. You see, holy chats are not just talking to God about ourselves, but it also involves talking to God about others. And we call this intercessory prayer. Our brothers and sisters need us to be praying for them, and we need them to be praying for us. You see, when we pray, the Bible tells us that we get the help that we need. And we're not going to get this help if we don't pray and we don't ask for it. We need to pray. You see, Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. You see, if you want your life to change, you need God's help. We need to come before God often and ask Him to change us and to change our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible encourages us to pray in this way, not just for ourselves, but for one another. And we should ever be before God lifting up ourselves and our brothers and sisters. You know, one day the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. This is Luke 11 and verse 1. Of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus for, they asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. Isn't that a great request? I mean, think of all the other things that they could have asked Jesus. Jesus, help us do this. Jesus, help us do that. The thing they come to Jesus with is, Jesus, help us in our prayer life. If you're struggling with prayer, let me encourage you. Do what they did. Go to God and say, God, teach us to pray, or teach me to pray. You see, maybe we would do well to ask God to teach us to pray. Because prayer is the most important thing you can do as a Christian. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's the most important thing you can do as a believer in Jesus, and it can accomplish more than anything else you can do. When it comes to the lost being saved, prayer is the way to go. When it comes to healing, it's not run to the doctor, it's pray. You can go to the doctor as well, but you still need to pray. Prayer is the most powerful thing we can do as a Christian. And when you pray, you're asking for help from the only one who truly has the power to help. How powerful is prayer? Well, how powerful is God? Here's a good question. How powerful could the body of Christ be if we all tapped the power available to us? If we all petitioned God the way we see Paul and David petitioning God in Scripture, and we can look at the lives of many other people as well. But look at the impact that the apostles had on the world. You think they did that in their own strength? No, they did it because they were devoted to prayer. Same thing with the early church. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Brethren, we will never, ever, ever be like Jesus if we're not asking God to make us like Jesus. It ain't going to happen. And I don't care if you do all the other things that we've talked about. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Read the Word. Allow the brethren to guide you and help you. All the other resources we've looked at. You exempt this one, and not a lot's going to happen in your life. All of these resources are necessary. We need to pray. And so make sure that you engage in holy chats, because you need it, and I need it, and the church needs it. And so, brethren, what I say to you is pray. So let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we are so grateful to you for your great love and mercy. God, we ask you to help us, because we want to be like Jesus. We really do, and we struggle. And there are days we do a real good job and we look a whole lot like Jesus. And there are days when we look ugly, when we don't look anything like Jesus. And we're struggling. Father, I ask and I pray that you would help us shape our lives. We know our limits. We know our potential. We know our power. We know how weak we are and ineffective we can be, but we also know how powerful you are, and we know that all things are possible with you. And so we come before you, begging you, pleading with you, asking you to transform our lives, make us like Jesus, help our brothers and sisters who are struggling, who are having a difficult time at this thing we call Christianity. And maybe their walk is not what it needs to be and what it could be. But we know that through prayer it can be changed. And so we're asking that you change them. Father, your church needs you so desperately. And we also ask that you teach us to pray. We might think we know how to pray, but maybe we really don't. Maybe we really do not know how to come before you and plead with you and ask for the changes in our lives that need to occur. We've looked at a couple of prayers in the Bible, of David and Paul, and there are others we could look at, and we can see what prayer can be and what difference prayer can make in the lives of people. So God, teach us to pray, that we might be like Jesus. And this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, if we have any that need to respond to the invitation to come to Christ, we're going to encourage you to do that this morning. If you have some other need in your life, whatever that need might be, we urge you to come. And again, let us pray, because this is the greatest thing you can do. Come and ask God for the help you need. That makes good sense. If you need His help, come as we sing.